Welcome to Mastering the Attention Economy Podcast. I'm your host, Ari Lewis. Twice a week, we interview entrepreneurs, executives, and industry leaders on how to break through the noise and capture the audience's attention. Today's guest is Toby Howell. Toby is a daily writer for the Morning Brew business newsletter. He also runs the Morning Brew Twitter and Instagram accounts.
It's good to be here. I'm really excited to do this. Love the podcast.
So, Toby, really enjoy the work you do at the Morning Brew. You know, you're in charge of what seems to be most of the organic social. So when you applied for a job at Morning Brew, you know, did you list like meme creator and all these other virality stunts on your resume?
That's actually a really good question, because I don't think my resume was ever looked at in my application for the Morning Brew. I actually got my job through just a cold email and then various other follow-up emails, but I don't think a resume was ever actually looked at. Which is just kind of a sign of the way that hiring processes are going, that it's not necessarily about what you can list on the resume, but it's what you can provide for the company. And so, yeah, no resumes were made. So no meme creation was put on the resume. There's an interesting answer to that one.
So I think it makes sense to start off with, you know, I found you, you wrote this great Twitter thread about organic social, and how you came up with ideas. Can you talk for the listeners out there who I'm sure haven't read the Twitter thread, you know, sort of your thought process behind, you know, creating organic social posts?
Right. So actually, I was not a social media editor at all before this role. And even still, technically, I am a daily writer for the Morning Brew newsletter. And so my social experience was purely gained from doing organic social media. So, which I think is an interesting way to learn. It's by, I was basically handed this account with 30,000 followers and given no instructions at all, basically. And so my process for discovering what works was very much just trial and error. And so after 2 months of running the social media account, yeah, I condensed kind of a few 10 ideas that had helped me, or 10 learnings that had kind of guided my process a little bit. And I guess it just really resonated with people because it absolutely blew up. But I think my perspective as someone who had never done a branded social media or run a brand account, it actually really helped me discover maybe some new ways of thinking about it that other people might not have. My lack of experience is probably the best thing for my overall performance.
So when it comes, you know, let's start with memes, because that's what I brought up. So when it comes to like creating a successful meme, I follow you guys on Instagram, follow you guys on Twitter, like every post is, you know, it's so spot on, so amazing. You know, is that always the case? Are you guys like deleting it to like test it out, or are you guys just like crushing content every single time?
So I think what helps with the meme creation process is just full immersion into the basically like meme culture. I don't know if that's the correct word for it, but I mean, I spent a lot of time online. Like I still spend a ton of time, especially on Twitter, just looking around basically what other people are doing. My big concept right now is you just got to borrow freely. I mean, it's been said a million times. I'm even borrowing that concept, but like if you go on TikTok, you'll see 500,000 videos using the same concept, using the same background music, just tiny little variations on the exact same concept, basically. And so that's basically how I structure my kind of meme creation or organic social media approach, is that I'd look around for what a popular format that's gaining a lot of traction, and then I just slightly tweak it to fit our audience. And that slight tweak is obviously the most important part. Like it has to be relevant to our audience. But as in terms of where my ideas are coming from, it's just coming from the internet at large, because it's the best at deciding which ideas people are finding funny. So yeah, it's just finding a piece of relevant content and then making it relevant for the Morning Brew audiences is my general process.
So, you know, can you talk more about where you're finding these trends, right? Like, do you have to follow the right people, or are there certain accounts? I know you listed there was the two video accounts, I think, that you listed in that Twitter thread. You know, can you talk more about the specifics of identifying trends?
Yeah, that's a good question, because it does have to come from who you follow. And so I've kind of broken down who I follow. There are like the super high value ad follows, like you on Twitter is good. Like I enjoy the content you put out, like the David Perel, obviously, like Kovach, like they're all these great, very good social media strategy thinkers. But then there's just these like financial meme accounts, there's these video aggregators, and it's basically like are we allowed to curse on this podcast?
No, it's okay.
Okay, yeah, like the shit posters of the world, basically, that just understand like the meme economy really well. And so you just gotta you gotta divide your following into like those two buckets. Like you have to think about the strategy side, but then you also have to think about where's like the funny memes coming from on the internet. And I think that's just a product of spending time on Twitter, especially finding like the financial meme accounts of the world, like Ramp Capital, like Stock Cats, Hipster Trader. There's all these accounts that you can kind of insert yourself into the bubble, and then like the memes just kind of arise from being immersed in that corner of the internet, basically.
So when do you know, you know, that a post you've posted has sort of hit high velocity, that it's really resonated?
My first 3 weeks or something, it was like my third week running the Twitter account, I had like our most viral tweet ever. And it was, I don't know if you saw it, but it was basically a plane being swung around by an excavator. And it was just like a joke about the Fed propping up the economy. And like, so I posted that, and within like a minute, our co-founder like DM'd me on Slack, and he's like we've achieved liftoff, because that had like, it had like 150 likes in a minute or something like that. So that was like my first experience with virality and watching it catch hit the algorithm right and just really take off. But so that hasn't happened since, where it just goes uber viral immediately. And so it's been I've become more adept at like finding the ones that just really, really hit smack dab on our audience's sweet spot. And so whether it's basically just a curation and a time thing, where if you put in enough time interacting with your audience, you understand what is going to resonate with them the best. But it is cool to every once in a while see something just go nuclear on Twitter and just go super viral. That's always fun.
So do you guys delete, you know, organic posts as well, where it's the opposite of, I don't think this is resonated with the audience? You know, do you keep it on there, or do you delete it?
I'm actually a big fan of deleting. Sometimes I'll delete like 15 seconds into seeing it, because there's a huge difference between seeing it in your drafts, like drafting a tweet on your phone or on your computer, and then sending it out into the broader timeline. Tweets behave and look a lot different on a timeline for some reason, because it just becomes more ephemeral, whereas in your drafts it's like this piece of art that you're trying to create. But once it's out there, it just might not hit the same, or might not do what you want it to do. And so I've tweeted and deleted within 30 seconds of posting multiple times, just because it just isn't sitting right. And I think that's fine. Like, you can't be too, remember, in the end of the world, at the end of the day, it's a tweet. So it's fine to delete it if it doesn't do well. I'm actually a big fan of deleting content that doesn't resonate. And I'm not offended when our followers don't like something that I thought was hilarious. So yeah, I'm a big fan of the deletion technique, actually.
So, you know, a couple of things that you talked about in the thread were community, and then all like the super users as well. You know, how important is that community aspect and having that existing, you know, follower count within your account, as well as like having really high follower accounts following you? You know, you mentioned JJ Watt as one. You know, can you talk about that?
Right. I mean, It's basically like a growth hacking technique at its core, but it's one that I just figured out through doing it. But yeah, so there's if you have a brand account, there's going to be certain larger accounts that will gravitate towards you that are in your arena. So like I'll say Ramp Capital again, like he's got 250,000 followers or 200,000 followers, and he just loves, yeah, financial kind of meme, but also sometimes insightful stuff. And so it kind of fits right in our wheelhouse. And so it can be just as easy as just tagging him on a tweet that you think is funny, or just like creating an inside joke with him that allows him to interact with it, which then opens up the tweet to a much, much broader audience. Yeah, and then JJ Watt is obviously like a Uber power user because he's got 5 million followers. And so, yeah, that was just a case of it was the golf match with Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, and like I could see he was tweeting a lot during it. And so I'm like, okay, obviously he's watching, like I'm watching the same thing he is. Let's see if I can figure out how to get him to interact with us. Basically, it was that simple. And so luckily, yeah, I mean, I said when is the JJ Watt bros getting like their own golf special? And I mean, if I was JJ Watt, I'd be like, yeah, when am I getting my golf special? So I was just trying to think like what is something that would resonate with him watching the same thing as him. So it's more just a product of putting yourself in the right place at the right time, and then hoping something serendipitous happens.
Yeah, so on the thought-provoking question type of tweet, you do that a lot, not just with specific people, but I see you guys posting tweets to the audience asking questions. What makes a good question that is thought-provoking for the Twitter audience?
Again, okay, so first of all, questions are, I mean, some people might think of it as like an engagement hack. You get people to just respond to you and then you have engagement. But first of all, I don't think engagement is ever a bad thing. Like even you shouldn't just post something completely outlandish, but something thought-provoking, some good question for engagement's sake. Like I'm all for that. And then as to how the questions arise, like sometimes literally like we'll be in a meeting or something and we'll have like a content meeting at Morning Brew and we'll have a question or we'll have this idea that pops up, and I'll literally like tweet it as we're talking about it because I'm thinking if we're talking about it, then other people are going to want to talk about it too. But so that's one way that those questions arise. But then another way, I mean, our most responded to tweet was write a business horror story in 3 words or less. And like I literally saw that someone said write a horse, or yeah, it was literally write a horror story in 3 words or less. And so I literally just put business in front of it. So that's another, like that's a borrowing thing. I slightly tweaked something to make it relevant for our audience. And yeah, people loved it. So it's not it's you just don't have to overthink these things sometimes, but always be looking out for what's resonating on other parts of the internet and figure out if you can make it resonate for your audience.
So are you on social media all the time, or do you have like alerts for certain accounts that when they post, oh, they could have some good stuff that I can borrow from?
Well, so yeah, yes, I'm on social media all the time just because, I mean, my day job is I write the daily newsletter for the Morning Brew. So I mean, Twitter is a great news source, so I'm always on it. And then as for the alerts, this was yeah also my thread. We have for Morning Brew, I have alerts on for Elon Musk, Naval, Jack, a couple of these really, really high profile accounts that whenever they tweet, I call it hijacking a timeline. Because some of our most viewed, like our biggest impression tweets are just responses to Elon Musk tweets. Because, I mean, if you think about it, he's a direct vein into a 65 million pe person timeline. And so if you can be one of those first people to comment on one of his posts, again, it's a growth hack. But if you can kind of hit that sweet spot, yeah, a tweet really takes off. And yeah, it takes 2 seconds to think of something to post. Like it has to be like this quick thing because obviously tens of thousands of other people are commenting. But yeah, I think it's a really, really effective growth hack in that there's no shame in trying to and have what's been interesting to see actually is that I know that there's some kind of financial memers on Twitter that have post notifications on for us now, because like they're always some of the first people to respond to us. And so I think that's kind of cool that we're spawning like the same thing, that if they can be one of the first people to respond to a Morning Brew tweet, then they'll get followers, engagement, all that. So yeah, so that's it's a great tactic, and I'm gonna keep using it.
Yeah, the student becomes the teachers.
Right, exactly.
You know, in addition to doing, you know, the organic social for Morning Brew, you've also done it for yourself, you know, and you've had some success. What are the differences in your approach for your own account versus the Morning Brew, and what are some things that are the same?
So I'm actually still kind of figuring it out with my own account because, well, if we even go back a month ago, like before this thread blew up, I think I had 600 followers or something, and like the tweet right before my tweet thread was, I think it was eating chutney right now and thinking to myself, what is in chutney? So like obviously it wasn't any sort of like strategy account. It was literally just a very personal Twitter account without any concept or anything like that. And then yeah, I posted this thread and gained, I mean, it was crazy. I think I gained 3,500 followers in one night or something like that. And so I just instantly became elevated into like this weird, like people started looking at me differently on Twitter, like as a, I hate this word, but like thought leader. I think it's a ridiculous word. But yeah, so people started looking at my personal Twitter account much differently. And so then I had to kind of take a step back and say, all right, like, do I want to lean into this? I just gained this really significant chunk of followers. Like, what can I do with this now? And so but the thing is, when you post a post about social media and people like the post a lot, you kind of become the social media guy. And so I was like, do I want to be the social media guy, or do I want to be like this business guy? Because again, I'm a daily business newsletter writer. Should I try to expand my scope a little bit? And so I'm still kind of feeling it out because yeah, what you hear is go niche. Like you're going to be the attention economy guy. Like, so I'm figuring it out still, but I mean, I would love to keep the momentum going on my own account just because first, I think it's cool to have a window into like the life of a Morning Brew writer. And so like when I was outside the Morning Brew, I wanted to know what the writers were thinking about, like how the company was working. So I'm gonna try to like be that window for people. And then yeah, just keep posting. If I ever have something that I feel like insightful to share, I'm gonna put it out there. And so what my thread really did is show me that you can be kind of like a self-promoter, and if you have ideas that you think are valuable, then like you're doing yourself a disservice if you're not sharing them. So it just gave me like a lot more confidence to be more forthcoming on my own personal account.
So, and my last question for you is, what is one thing you would do differently, you know, knowing the lessons you've learned today on the organic social side, if you were starting again today?
I mean, every day I'm trying something differently, so I don't know if it's one thing, but I think since Morning Brew as a company, like we have all these other verticals. We have marketing brew, we have emerging tech brew, we have retail brew, and we have this awesome podcast. And something like I'm not great at is cross promotional material through those four verticals. And so I would love to set up like a brand identity where we interact with each other on social more, and it's mostly just a staffing problem. Like we don't have the writers who write the newsletter are also running their own social accounts, so it's really difficult for them to do both. So I would love to just kind of sit down and kind of hash out a strategy almost of how we could all interact better to create like this Morning Brew ecosystem of really like fun banter on these social platforms. So yeah, that's kind of going forward is something that I really want to think about and do better is, yeah, figuring out how to leverage each other's collective followings to like rise all the boats, I guess. Yeah.
So Toby, thanks so much for joining me today. For those who want to find you on social or Morning Brew on social, where can they find you guys?
Yeah, follow us on Twitter at Morning Brew, on Instagram at Morning Brew, and then yeah, follow me on Twitter at Toby Doy Howell. And I'll be there. I'm on there all the time. So say hi, drop a DM, tag us in something. Like I'm always watching.
Great. Well, thanks again for joining us, and until next time, everyone.